some folks that I've, you know, you see afar off and you admire them, but then when you get close to them, you figure out you messed up. Praise God. Brother Savage has been the opposite for me. I admired him from afar for a long time. But then when I got closer to him, I found out there was more the closer I got. Praise God. I appreciate him. Appreciate the Lord. Talking to my father this morning before Sunday school, I wanted to tell him that I loved him and wished him a happy Father's Day while he was heading down to Tennessee to preach. And I got to thinking that a lot of times in my life, I've always wanted to be like my dad. I've desired to be like him. As a matter of fact, when I was a boy, my dad couldn't get out of my sight. I'd stay right on his heels no matter where he'd go. And especially, Brother Wayne, if he was going to go to town. If he was going to go to town, I wanted to do my best to be right on his heels when he went to town. And so I'd watch him every move he'd make. If he grabbed his keys, I was ready to go. But Dad always would take a look at me, look me over a little bit, and he said, go to Mama first and let her wash your face. Praise God. Put you some shoes on, and then you can go. Amen. And there was always stipulations. Brother Wayne taught so well this morning on the Lord and the truth of the Trinity of God. And I was thinking while he was doing so well that he's leaving after a while. And I want to go with him. Praise God. I want to go with him. Amen. I want to be right there with him. Praise God. Never leave sight of him. Amen. I appreciate you. E. Now I like to go down in a big flaming ball of fire if I'm gonna mess up here. So y'all gonna help me sing. A big wreck's always more fun to look at than a little one. Now this is your part of the song. Going back with him. Going back with him. Going back with him. Going back with him. Y'all got that? All right, help me. Going back with him. Going back with him. Going back with him. Going back with him. One of these days, and it won't be long, you'll look for me, and I'll be gone. I'm gonna look up David in the heat of the day. He'll take down his heart. Changed in a moment, in a twinkling of my eye. Though dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are alive and remain shall meet him in the air. appreciate you. Amen. I like to be ready. Amen. When that call comes, praise God. I appreciate you. Amen. You sure have been a help to me in more ways than you can possibly know. Praise God. I'd like to preach to you this morning, if the Lord will allow me, in 1 Samuel chapter number 17. And y'all can just pray for me if you would. Praise God. I'm always nervous, and this is no exception. Praise God. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Father's Day history. Amen. The idea for creating a day for children to honor their fathers began in Spokane, Washington, when a woman by the name of Sonora Smart Dodd thought the idea of a Father's Day was worth listening to. Amen. While she was listening to a Mother's Day sermon in 1909. Having been raised by her father, William Jackson Smart, after her mother died, Sonora wanted her father to know how special he was to her. Praise God. And that's the beginning of Father's Day. Glory to God. I appreciate the Lord. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you turn there with me, I'd like to begin reading in verse number 1. Read down to verse number 11. I borrowed your Bible from upstairs. Praise God. We came not knowing that we were going to stay over and preach, so I got the Bible from the evangelist quarters here. Praise God. And I don't know if I was using Brother Nick's shampoo up there or not, but I was using somebody's shampoo. Praise God. It's all still up there so far. So I guess it's all right when I Brother Nick. Praise God. Glory to God. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Socoth, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Socoth and Azekah. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. He had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Praise God. Would you help me pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God, Lord. We thank you for all that's said and done already in this day, Lord. And I pray, God, that you'd bless me with heaven's anointing, Lord, the Holy Ghost. God, that you'd help me to preach what you've given me, Lord. And anoint hearts to receive, that we might gather before this altar, Lord, and lay down things that need to be laid down, and pick up things that need to be picked up, Lord, for all your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. A very familiar scripture, amen, David and Goliath. And I've read to you the part where the challenge went out from Goliath that there would be someone that would stand up to him. And if you know the story very well, in my reading to you, I read where Goliath said, if he defeats me, then we'll serve you. Well, the devil is always a lion when he does get defeated. Amen. They didn't just lay down their arms. Praise God, they ran. But I'd like to preach to you a little while about this, and the thing that amazes me about this, amen, and always has amazed me, is the size difference between this giant and this young man who thought enough of God to fight, amen, this giant. I'd like to use 25 inches as a cubit and 10 inches as a span, amen, to give an idea of what I'm trying to tell you about Goliath. Amen. I would like to use 24 grains to equal one shekel, if you're wondering where I came up with all these measurements at. This giant would have stood 13 foot and 4 inches tall. This ceiling of this sanctuary is about 22 foot or so, I guess. Amen. So we're talking about a man that would probably be along the equal of the top of the chandelier, the golden portion of the chandelier. We're speaking of this man, amen, who if you tried to put into his body weight what he could weigh, I looked in the article the other day of a Rams offensive tackle, Terrell Brown. He's 6 foot 10 and 403 pounds. If you put Goliath at the same weight as this man is, Goliath would weigh 786 pounds without any armor. Praise God. That's a pretty good sized guy. He had 7 pieces of armor and a shield bearer. Amen. A helmet of brass, an estimated weight of 10 pounds, a coat of mail, 194.5 pounds. The greaves were estimated weight of 20 pounds, a target of brass or a breastplate, estimated weight of 20 pounds, a spearhead, 23.5 pounds, a sword, the estimate of that would be about 16 pounds, a shield, a weight of 30 pounds, and a total armor weight of 318 pounds. If we took both of these accounts, then this man with his weapons would have weighed over 1,000 pounds. Praise God. And the Bible in verse 11 said that heard the words of the Philistine, and they were greatly afraid. Amen. But then David, praise God. Then there came someone who thought that this giant, amen, was not big enough to defy the gods of the armies of Israel. Amen. I don't know how y'all are about fighting or warring. I've got my own idea what I'd do if I'd have met that guy. Praise God. We were going down through Kroger one day, and my youngest son and I, and my youngest son was getting pretty big and pretty tough, and he thought he was. And there was this guy, what he was, but he looked like he was cut out of an oak tree. Had big old biceps, I mean, just a hulking a man, a great big man. And so I told him, hey, Ben, my wisdom, Brother Nick, was that I wanted to check out how tough this youngest son of mine really was. And I said, all right. I said, smack him and see what he does. Praise God. And my big old tough young son said, Daddy, shh, he might hear you. Praise God. I said, go ahead, son, slap him and see what he does. Because I already know what I was going to do. Hallelujah. The outweighed advantage of this giant of a man, amen, against this man that we know as David. David, who is the youngest son of an elderly father. Amen. At a day where a full-grown man was a tall man if he was 5 foot tall. His weight, at the very best weight, would have been less than half of what this man would weigh. Amen. He was so small and viewed as so small in the eyes of everyone around. Amen. Even among his own people, that the king said in verse number 56, Saul said, inquire thou whose son the stripling is. Amen. So even among his own people, he was small and insignificant. Amen. Inside of the giant, no doubt, but even in his own camp, amen, he was thought as too small for the job. Armed only with a shepherd's staff and a shepherd's bag and a sling, amen, he was too small for Saul's armor. He tried it on and it didn't fit, and he just took it back off and said, I can't wear this. I have not proved it. Amen. And he went into battle. Amen. The same way that he came. Amen. With just a shepherd's garments upon him, a shepherd's staff, a shepherd's bag, and a sling. Amen. And I want to tell you, the bookies all around there, the Philistine bookies were given 1,000 to 1. Amen. Against David, making it the first minute of battle. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. And so it reckoned in my mind, I wanted to try to find why and how it came, amen, that this man could defeat this man. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, the Bible says, it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Amen. Now this is diametrically opposite what we should think he would do. Amen. But this young man, amen, these young folks came back from a youth camp right now, and they're feeling some of the things that I want to preach to you about this morning. Amen, this young man won. He ran toward this humongous obstacle that was in his way. Amen, but the secret lies, amen, not in the sling that David bore. It lies not in the bag that he carried his 5 smooth stones in. It lies not in the fact, amen, that his own inward braveness, amen, his own ability, amen, was there. Praise God. But in verse number 29, David said, "What have I now done? Amen, is there not a cause?" Praise God. Is there not a cause? Amen. The one thing that David had, amen, that seemingly was lacking in all the armies of Israel, amen, is he saw a reason to fight. He saw a reason to go, amen, and meet this giant Goliath. He saw something, amen, that the others could not see. Amen, in this case, cause is used as a noun. Amen, a reason or motive worthy of deep devotion. Praise God. David had a cause. Hallelujah. David's cause was not for him. Amen. You'll find him when he begins to talk with Saul. Amen. He begins to tell about the reasons that he can go fight Goliath. He says, "When I was watching my father's sheep, amen, then the lion and the bear came." And do you know that David, amen, and all the things that concerned David, and David wasn't worried, amen, about increasing the reputation of David. Amen. First of all, Brother Matt, he was worried about his father's sheep. Praise God. And his father's sheep would have been enough to go out and do battle against the lion and the bear. And now, amen, this Goliath has defied the God of Israel. Amen. This has given David a cause, amen, to go down and fight that giant. Amen. You ever wondered why some, amen, young men, amen, have fall down and find a burden on the side of the road, some little old building that's been vacated for a long time. Amen. And something start burning in his heart, and he sees a neighborhood dying. Amen. He sees folks that he loves dying. Amen. And something grips his heart, and he starts going down, and he makes arrangements to have that little building opened up that he might be able to have a few services there. I want to tell you, amen, and that's a cause. Glory to God. Another word for cause, amen, it's used interchangeably, amen, is a burden. Praise God. A burden. Amen. Something that attaches itself to the soul of a man or woman. Amen. That makes them see beyond themselves and see beyond their ability. Amen. And see beyond their strength and see beyond their wealth. Amen. Knowing that the God that gave them the burden, amen, will give them the strength to bring the burden to pass. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This man, David, amen, had a burden. Praise God. A burden, amen. Do you know uncommon actions are prompted, amen, by different things? Praise God. I lived across the road from my uncle when I was just a boy. My uncle had an English bulldog, and that thing was a terror. It looked ugly. It acted ugly. It walked with its legs all bowed out with an attitude. Praise God. And it marched around the whole neighborhood there. And as it marched around, Mama had some old cats. And the old cats had kittens up under the mobile home where we lived at. Amen. And this, somehow or another, I forget the dog's name. Wish I could remember. But somehow or another, this old dog got to sniffing around this trailer where we're living in. And he stuck his head up under that trailer. Praise God. My dad said it's the only time in his life that he's ever seen a cat ride a dog's back. Praise God. That mama cat latched on to him. He been from the time he stuck his nose in there. He been, it began to whip on him. It latched on to his back, rode him all the way out of the yard. Praise God. Doing all the damage. I'm telling you, hey, been sometimes a battle looks unsurmountable. Hey, been sometimes it looks like we're not big enough for the task. Hey, been, but I tell you, a burden will take us far above our ability. Hey, been, take us far above the things that we call holding our grasp, amen. Take us far above the things, amen, the things that pull us back and hold us back and weigh us down. Glory to the Lamb of God. It gives us strength to go on. Hey, that's the reason. Amen. Sister Savage's feet are hurting. Amen. And she stands around for hours down in the fellowship hall. Amen. Doing and doing and doing and doing. Amen. You cannot do that without a burden. Glory to God. Hallelujah. A burden. Hallelujah. A burden is the thing that makes us feel uncomfortable when we would rather feel comfortable. It's a thing that marks us. It's a thing that demands of us. Amen. It's a thing that puts a prod in our side. Amen. Wigan Booth, amen, the creator, the founder of the Salvation Army. In the latter years of his life, the Salvation Army was lacking in funds, and it came time to do his annual Christmas message. And not to take any of the funds out of the coffers of the organization at that time, he thought, and he sent back a one-word Christmas message. And that one word was, others. Praise God. Others. Hallelujah. You cannot have a burden without others being the goal. If I have something that I do, Brother Nathan, that will increase my reputation, that's not a burden. If I find something, y'all help me preach a minute now. If I grasp a hold of something that I know that will make me be viewed favorably in the eyes of others, that's not necessarily a burden. A burden, even is that thing that when nobody else is thinking about it, you are. Come on now, help me preach a minute. Amen. You know why y'all are still here, don't you? You have a burden. Hallelujah. It was B.H. Clendenin when he preached that famous message, The Good Soldier. He speaks into it one place where he was occupying the battle line and his job was on a machine gun. And a dear friend of his was dying. And in his death, amen, they kept coming to him and telling him he needed to come and see his friend. But Brother Clendenin just kept on firing his machine gun. And he fired till the end of the battle was over with. And when he did, the man came to him in an accusation and said, "Your friend died. You could have been here." Amen. Brother Clendenin said, "If I'd have left that place, there would have been many more that died." Praise God. A burden is not a comfortable thing. Later on in Brother Clendenin's life, y'all help me preach a minute. I really got this on my heart. I know I ain't no preacher, but I really got this in my heart. Later on in Brother Clendenin's life, when he went to Iwo Jima, and he was there on the shores, and the palm tree tops were shot out, And he wondered, Brother Nathan, if, why? Why go on? I mean, when you fight so long and you get wounded so often, sometimes whys get pretty elusive. And he sat there and he wondered. And he said, as he began to wander, he began to see Old Glory being pulled down from the flagstaff. And the rising sun of Japan being raised up in its stead. And in his mind's eye, he began to see the Japanese troops taking over the United States of America and taking the homes and taking the families, praise God. And he rose up and he fought again. Hallelujah. That's a burden. We went to buy a church bus. I had some folks want to haul that bus ministry. My dad's first pastor. He called me assistant pastor, but now that I know a little bit about it, that was just a kindness on his part. I wasn't. Went to buy this old bus, and I've always valued good counsel. Amen. My dad and I got together with another preacher way on down there at Yawn. We met, and we bought him a hamburger. And we put out to him what we had. We had this little four-room house that was changed to a church. And the kids up on the mountain, up on Peepatch Mountain, down home we got a lot of pretty colorful names for everything. Bearwater, Chicken Ridge. But up on Peepatch, there's a bunch of children up there, the Mitchell kids, was dying lost without God. We got a burden to buy that bus. We talked to that man, and afterwards, he said, I tell you, brothers, he said, I understand your sentiment. And he said, it's admirable. But he said, if you go buy that bus, that everybody you haul in it, said, they won't be the people that put into the offering. They won't be the people that help you financially. I felt like a sword had been slipped into my fifth rib. I walked outside. My dad had a big old smile on his face. I didn't understand why he was so happy. He looked at me and he said, Eddie, he said, we got our answer. I didn't think we did. He said, yeah. He said, let's go buy that bus. You can't equate a burden in a checkbook. There are some things you can tell about a burden by a checkbook. But it's not just on a ledger. Help me, Jesus. The burdens that we have, sometimes, I tell you the truth, sometimes it feels good if I could just get rid of some sometimes. But I read in the Evangelist Quarters, Dr. Lambie, a medical missionary to Abyssinia, wrote about natives crossing overflowing rivers to keep from being swept away. They would carry a sack of rocks over their shoulder to weigh them down until they reached the other side. Sometimes our burdens just keep our feet firmly planted. Amen. A.B. Simpson said, are you struggling with your burden neath the chastening rod? God is working. Wait upon him. Wait and pray and plod. Hallelujah. Sometimes our steps, y'all help me preach that. Sometimes the steps of a burden are not classical steps at all. Sometimes burden steps are not intricate designs that will make an impression at all. Sometimes they're just plodding along. Amen. It's the same. Y'all let me preach now. Same day in and same day out. And just keep on walking. Praise God. Plodding along. Glory to God. Such sometimes is a burden. Sometimes a burden gives you wings. Amen. And you fly far above the criticism of others. Because you have the wings of a burden. And your burden lifts you up the heights that they can't see. Amen. And allows you to go. Y'all help me preach. That's a burden. Help me, Lord. It was Jeremiah that tried to tell about his burden. He said, "Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." Jesus gathered over to Jerusalem and he said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I'd have gathered you together." And he spoke of his burden. Romans 10 and 1, Paul speaks of one of his burdens. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." You know, all burdens are reflected in prayer. Amen. You don't have a burden unless you pray about it. Praise God. He also said in Romans chapter 1, verse 13, "Now I'll not have you be ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come to you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." Great God in heaven. Amen. A burden with it also gives, amen, an unction for action. Praise God. It doesn't allow you to sit around with it, but it pushes you out. Amen. It makes you know that there's something inside of you, amen, that wants to go, that needs to go, that you have an indebtedness, amen, to those that have gone before you. You have an indebtedness to those that don't know Christ. Amen. It pushes you on and it drives you on, amen, to that burden. Amen. Begins to make your feet do things and begins to make your mouth do things and begins to make your hands do things. And it presses you into service. And it presses you into the will of God. And it presses you into the presence of God. Amen. So much that the hand of God begins to rest upon you. And yet, often you're not even aware of it. Because you're crying out for more. God, give me more of a burden. God, give me more of an unction. God, give me more of an insight. God, give me more of a vision. Oh, great God in heaven. If we could just have it increased, Brother Nathan. If we could just have it poured out, amen, and put in and saturated, amen, and to the point, amen, that we could not stay still. Jeremiah said, he said, I was going to forbear, but I couldn't. Amen. Your word was like a fire shut up in my bones. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Ezekiel said in Ezekiel chapter 9, he cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, "Cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came by the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, and with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar, and the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof." Do you know, dear brothers and sisters, we are marked by our burdens, glory to God. Amen. The burden marks us. Amen.
And with that mark is also, amen, a protection. Amen. And others, he said, am I here? And go here after him through the city and smite and let not your eyes spare, neither have pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Do you have the mark? That burden. Oh, glory, glory, glory. You see, I'm going to close. The thing that really got me to thinking about this was 2 Samuel chapter number 11, and I was studying for another message. And I remember the time when this man that I'm going to speak to you about would keep his father's sheep. And he would go against a lion and a bear to bring what was left of that lamb out of their mouth. He was the same one that would, for God's glory, he would go down to his brothers and take the 10 cheeses. And he would go down and shout for the battle. And then when the time came up, he would fight Goliath, because the Bible said he was a man with a cause. What happens to a man without a cause? What happens to a man without a burden, or a woman without a burden? You'll find it in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 1. It came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab. That don't make sense. That don't make a lick of sense. This is a David that ran toward the army. That ran toward the giant. Praise God. And it broke my heart, Brother Nick, when it said, and David sent Joab. There's no one else can do your burden but you. When he sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Reba. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. He didn't used to do that. It came to pass in the evening tide that David arose from off his bed. He didn't used to do that. He'd rise with the morning. Often lying and wait, amen, living in caves and living with, y'all help me preach. But now it's already evening tide. David is just rising up. Oh, help me, Lord. I remember when Gehazi was the feet of the prophet of God. And at the prophet's bidding, he took his rod and he ran forth in front of him. And Brother Aaron, he was the prophet's feet. And he ran in the prophet's stead, Brother Samuel, until he lost his burden. His burden was somehow skewed, and it was taken away from the work of God and into the riches of this world. And he longed for the things that Naaman had offered unto Elisha. Help me preach, Lord. And he traded his burden with a bag of dirt. Demas traded his burden for the love of this world. Judas Iscariot traded his burden for some paltry pieces of silver. Ahithophel traded his burden. Amen. Oh, God. See, the reason I'm preaching this is I want to examine me unless I lose my burden. Hallelujah. to keep it close to me. I don't want it to hurt me when my brother backslides. I want it to pain me when somebody falls. I want it to break my heart when I see a church going worldly. I want it to pierce like a spear in my soul. Amen. When I see those that I once had thought so highly of, amen, turning from the right way. Glory to God. Will somebody come and get me a song? Martin Luther was a poet also, and he wrote this poem. The God that stopped the sun on high and sent the manna from the sky, laid flat the walls of Jericho and put to flight old Israel's foe. Why can't he answer prayer again and drive away each stormy cloud? Who turned the water into wine and healed a helpless cripple's spine, commanded tempest, peace be still, and hungry multitudes did fill. His power is just the same today. So why not labor, watch and pray? He conquered in the lion's den, brought Lazarus back to life again. He heard Elijah's cry for rain and freed the sufferers from pain. If he could do those wonders then, let us prove our mighty God again. Why can't the God who raised the dead, gave little David Goliath's head, cast out demons with a word, yet sees the fall of one wee bird, do signs and miracles today in that same good old-fashioned way? He can. But we must let him speak to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you for listening so patiently with me. I appreciate it. Amen. This has been on my heart. What is our burden? Jesus said in Matthew 28, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatever things I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Young preacher, I was and lived up on Garden Creek, a little rental house. Across the house from us was an old bathhouse. I was raised in a coal mining community, and a lot of people still at that time didn't even have running water in their homes. And they had a bathhouse, a community bathhouse there, where men would pay a certain amount a month and go and be able to bath from the mines to go home clean. Now, lived across from that bathhouse, Brother Nick. There was an old man there. His name was, I never knew his rightful name. All I knew him was Pops. Everybody called it Pops Bathhouse. You ask about anybody in the community, they tell you where Pops Bathhouse was. And Pops was an old man. He was withered by the year, an old coal miner. His breath was raspy from black lung. But worse than all those things, Pops was a sinner. Pops was so lost. And I was just a preacher that's been called. And I heard about preachers, you know, that go talk to folks and they'd get saved, Brother Stephen. And I wanted that for me, you know. So, Brother Matt, I went over and talked to him. And he almost slammed the door in my face. And I went home and had all my feelings all hurt. Carried him home in this little crumpled bag. And I'm all tore up. And I kind of figured that was the last of that. I got to praying one morning before Sunday school. And I was praying. And I got a burden. I got a burden for that man almost slammed the door in my face. And I went back across that old road there, knocked at the door. answered the door, and I said, "Is Pops home? I'd like to talk to him." And he said, "Yeah, he's here. He's on oxygen right now." They took me into where he was at. And I began to tell him about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I didn't care if I succeeded. It wasn't about me no more. The burden had changed the reason that I went. And I got there, and the only thing important in the whole world that day was that this old man got saved. Praise God. He was a simple man. It's a good thing, because I'm a simple preacher. We got to talking about Jesus, and before long I said, "Pops, ain't you ready to get saved?" And he said, "Yes, son, I'm ready." We prayed together in that little house. Y'all help me preach. I went home, and the next week I saw all kinds of emergency vehicles pulling into the bathhouse. I went over and I said, "What's going on?" And they said, "Pop just died. Had a massive aneurysm." And I said, "I want to see him." And they said, "No, you don't want to see him. Just remember him like he was." You know how I remember him, Brother Wayne? I remember him, amen, saying, "Yes, he saved me. Yes, he saved me." I wondered about the restoration of a burden, and the Lord gave me this scripture. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Aren't you glad that after failure there's a remedy? "Lovest thou me more than these?" And then he said, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." And he saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." Show me. Show me you love me. Go and do. And show me you love me. He asked him again a second time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said, "No, Lord, you know I love you." He said, "Feed my sheep. And then show me." Took him to the third time. Hallelujah. "Thou knowest I love you." So he told him, Brother Stephen, that last time. He said, "Feed my sheep." Whoa. Yeah, that mountain's going to move. Sometimes he moves it with a shovel. Some folks with a burden. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Would you stand with me? Heavenly Father, I've done my best to preach what you bid me. I pray now, Lord, that you'd hide it in the hearts of everybody here, God. Bless this church, Lord. Bless this pastor, his wife, God. Bless these young folks, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd draw us now, even, Lord, into your throne. God, and do the things that only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come and pray all over the building? Ask God for a burden. Pray that God will put a burden upon you. Amen. It'll give meaning to your life.